This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. Today, I am deeply honored to have with us our very special guest today, Bobby Wallace with the Barona Band of Mission Indians. Bobby, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, today we're going to be talking about Bobby's efforts to lead a relief caravan to assist the Native Americans that are in Cannonball, North Dakota, where they are protesting against the Dakota Access Pipeline. They call themselves Water Defenders, and this is, I understand, the largest Native American gathering since Wounded Knee. Is that correct, Bobby?
Yes, it sure is. There's hundreds of tribes out there in Standing Rock right now supporting the efforts. We are traveling there on the 8th. And we're taking winter supplies, which is blankets, sleeping bags, warm clothing, and food for these people that are out there. And they're going to stay pretty much the whole winter.
Wow.
And yeah, till whenever there's something agreed upon so the pipeline doesn't run through their water system.
Tell us what's at stake here with this pipeline for the Standing Rock Sioux, and for that matter, for all of the Native American tribes that are turning out to show solidarity.
You know, I think that this is going to show precedence. I think, now personally myself, and I'm no legal advisor, but personally myself, with the feedback that I'm getting from many, many people, is that this is going to be a precedent. So if they can go and put pipelines adjacent or on top of major river systems, that it could happen anywhere. So this really isn't a Native American issue. This is an all-American issue for people across the United States, and we really need to take a good look at it right now.
True, because although it's Native Americans leading the opposition to this oil pipeline, you know, if there's a break in it, and there's certainly been hundreds of oil pipeline breaks across the U.S. in recent years, it would affect drinking supplies potentially all throughout the Missouri River and its tributaries.
Yeah, drinking supplies, you know, as you know, we as humans need water to survive, and building this thing upstream, if you look at the river carefully and follow it down, you know, there's farmland, there's people that make a living on fishing, game, drink from the rivers, and the river shoots off into other little rivers. So let's just say there was a break or a spill. With the amount of pressure on that pipeline, there would be tons and tons of oil that would go down and distribute through all those little tributaries.
Yeah, it is absolutely devastating to think about. So how long has the encampment in Cannonball been going on now?
It's been months. You know, it was brought to my attention by one of our elders, Sylvia Sherbert. She was on a trip to go to one of the powwows, and her friend had heard about it and went over there. And at that time, there wasn't really too much of public attention on it. I had heard nothing about it.
Yeah, the media was really silent on it.
They were very silent on it, but there was these dedicated group of people that have been out there since day one, staying at this camp. So Sylvia messaged me. She took pictures, told me about it, and I had worked with the Longest Walk 5, War on Drug Abuse and Domestic Violence.
Which is a cross-country walk that Native Americans have organized. And
Sure. Yes, it is. It's a trek across to bring awareness of, you know, again, this, like, domestic violence and drug abuse isn't everybody's problem also. So I had gotten tons of messages of people asking me when I was going to go. And anyways, with the help, spearheading of it with, Blue Eagle from the Viejas Band, the Rez Riders, which is a motorcycle group, a Native American motorcycle group, we took out lots and lots of supplies supported by the people here on the west side. And that was people from the desert, people from Baja, people up north, and it was a total tribal deal. We had 9 band members of the Kumeyaay that went with us on our journey out there. So it was a spiritual moment when we went out there. We were known by everybody that we were coming. They came and gave us hugs.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what was that like when you pulled into the camp and they saw these supplies coming from the other side of the nation?
They expressed their gratitude. They're proud people. They expressed their gratitude. They knew us by name. They came up, gave us hugs, and hundreds of people came and told us, you know what, you guys, thank you for coming. We know people all the way on the other side by the Pacific Ocean cares about us. And it was such a feeling. It was a feeling that almost made me cry because these people knew that people on this side have the love for them and the love for their water and the earth.
So this has really grown since you were back there, I understand. A lot has happened since then. Now, when did you leave?
It was about a month and a half ago.
Yeah. So since then, there were some arrests made not long after you left there, and it really made it all over the internet. It went viral. It was pretty rough to watch. It was private security guards hired by the company building the Dakota Access Pipeline, and they sicked dogs on the people that were standing up there. You know, there were people who were standing in the way of bulldozers, putting their lives on the line, literally, but they wound up with dogs sicked on them, and they were maced or pepper sprayed, and this was not police. These were private security guards at the time that were doing that.
Yes, you know, they hired strong arms to come in there and try to keep people at their bay. You know, everything has to be on their terms, but you know, this is a free country. People have the right to express their freedom of speech and freedom of religion. There is no respect with those guys.
Yeah.
Anybody who sicks a dog on a little kid, shame on those guys.
Yeah.
Or a grown human being, for that matter. You know, there is no respect. You know, when you can go over and desecrate someone's burial ground or graveyard, there is no respect there. You know, they need to take a look at alternatives for this.
So another wrinkle to this is that the Standing Rock Sioux and I believe another tribe had tried to file for an emergency injunction to halt this. Even after those attacks, the court refused to grant the injunction, although the lawsuit itself is still moving forward and they could potentially win. But meanwhile, President Obama was overseas and a reporter in Germany or somewhere asked him about this issue. And he came back and he issued some emergency orders himself to stop the pipeline construction for right now. Do you think that all of the demonstrations and the actions by the Native Americans had an influence on what the president did? And how do you feel about the actions he's taken so far? Has it gone far enough? Is there more that you want the president or Congress to do?
You know what? There is more. There has to be. People need to sit down and they need to go back to that table and they need to come up with better solutions. Right now, it doesn't seem like things really work in the favor of the people. It just so happened that day we had the rally down in San Diego at the federal courthouse was the day, you know, Obama stepped in, which was great on that day. But we must keep pushing forward. This is, these are issues that could be happening everywhere. And it is happening everywhere. Yeah. It's not just Standing Rock.
True.
Do your research, people. It's happening all over the United States.
Yeah, and it isn't only oil pipelines as bad as those are. We've seen similar issues with, for example, some of the wind projects, which is clean energy, but we've seen a lot of controversy, for example, in Ocotillo when they wanted to put it over sacred sites for the Native Americans, over ancient geoglyphs that had been there for thousands of years, sacred places where people come to pray, ancestral burial grounds, and so forth. And it didn't seem to matter what was said in the hearings leading up to this. They pretty much ignored the Native American concerns, as well as concerns of environmentalists and some other folks, and just put the project there no matter what.
Well, you figure, you know, they think because they have the executive order, they can just go do what they want. And that is the truth. They can go do what they want. But consulting with the Native Americans, figuring out where their ancestral sites are, I was part of that. I was out there in Ocotillo when we had a little gathering at the medicine wheel, which hadn't happened between the Kumeyaay and the Kokopahs and the Quetzans for over a thousand years. And we were out there together, you know, supporting it. But through the executive order, now when you drive down there at night, what do you see? You see a bunch of red lights.
Yeah, it's awful. 500 foot tall things with towers with flashing red lights on.
Towers and flashing red lights. There were bones that were discovered right around where some of those towers were at. It makes no sense if somebody were to go to the cemeteries in Virginia or Maryland and start bulldozing over them and put a wind tower. Somebody would have to answer for that.
Yeah, it would never happen at Arlington National Cemetery, no. But that's effectively what they're doing to the Native American burial grounds and sacred sites.
Well, look at down there at Silver Strand. They just, they could have moved this project over 143 yards, but they chose to actually just move forward. We had guys from the Navy out there actually flipping, they were doing wrong gestures to the women. And kids were out there, and you know, we had a protest out there because they were digging up our bones.
And for those not familiar with it, that's a Navy SEAL training facility that was being expanded on Coronado's Silver Strand. And again, it was another of these projects where there was disrespect shown to the Native Americans, who only wanted it moved a fairly insignificant distance to preserve a burial ground.
You know, people know that there's, you know, issues of national security, which is fine, but
yeah,
you know, when you start digging up somebody's family that's 7,000 years old, those are our family's remains, and crushing the bones and just doing what you want and not showing any respect. And it could be moved over. That tells me, and that tells everybody, the policies need to change, and mm-hmm. people are smart.
So as I understand it, that's what Standing Rock is really all about. It's about changing the process, not just for this one oil pipeline, bad though it may be, but for all projects in the future, to give more voice to Native Americans, and not just to listen, but to actually hear what they're saying. There's a lot of lip service given to this term about listening sessions, and I know I've had some Native American friends tell me they went to some, and it was supposed to be a listening session by the federal government, and at one point, they said, well, how come nobody's taking notes? And is this being recorded? And it wasn't. And they said, well, then how is anyone going to hear what we say, let alone do anything about it? So it does seem there's a lot of problems there. Back to Standing Rock. Now, more recently, last week or so, there was another round of arrests. Do you have any updates on what happened there?
Yeah, I sure do. There was some people out, you know, having a ceremony, and they didn't want them there. Plane flew over, dropped some tear gas on those guys. You know, the people weren't happy that that happened, and thank God that the wind was blowing the wrong way, or they didn't have good aim, because it kind of went over them. And there were weapons drawn, there was a rounding up of people, and again, it goes back to disrespect. They're pushing people around. They don't need to push people around.
And that was a religious ceremony that was interrupted.
It's a religious ceremony. And you know what? That's going against the law. We have religious freedom. Every single one of us in the United States have a religious freedom. We take into consideration everybody's freedoms.
But it seems like the more that the people there that are encamped against this, that are taking this stand, the more that there is aggressive action against them like that, the more it empowers or encourages more people from around the country, Native Americans and non-Native Americans, I might add, to show up there in solidarity. Do you think this is something that's just going to keep growing and growing and growing until action is taken?
I think so. I think the censorship that they're doing right now, you know, with the big news, I think it's going underground with the Facebooks and the Instagrams so much that the news has to probably come and pick up on it sometime. And I know there was other news channels that were starting to pick up on it, but we'll see how things go in the future. When I first went to Standing Rock, there was like 1,500 people there or so. There was a lot of people. And then the camp has grown anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people. And it just depends on, you know, people's schedules or time off. And these people aren't just Native American. They're everyday people. I have a young woman who actually is from Saudi Arabia. They had a ceremony over in Saudi Arabia, and it's called the water ceremony. And her father is actually bringing some of the water back. They're going to fly out to Standing Rock with us. Wow. And meet us out there on the 11th for a ceremony. And they're bringing water from Saudi Arabia to perform this ceremony. So it's not just here, it's everywhere. We had people praying for us down at the bottom of South America, holding the Standing Rock. You know, they were doing a traditional ceremony. And these people, I mean, they're in the hills,
mm-hmm.
but they know about it. You know, people in Saudi Arabia know about it.
Around the world, really.
Around the
Facebook.
World. Australia, Germany.
Yeah, there you go. So tell us what exactly is needed to help these people the most. You spoke recently at Activist San Diego, which is the parent nonprofit that owns KNSJ Radio, full disclosure there. And you spoke about some of the actual needs with winter coming on, of items that people can donate to help the cause. What do you need?
We need, or they need, sleeping bags that can withstand the cold, canvas tents, blankets, wood stoves. You know, we're taking out some wood stoves
mm-hmm.
that they're actually going to put inside their teepees, and canned food.
Now, you're leaving Saturday. What time?
We're leaving at approximately 8 a.m., just depending on supplies and how they're coming in.
Okay, so folks that are listening to this show on Friday can give you a call Friday night and bring things out. Where can they bring them, and how can they get in touch with you?
They can call me at area code 619-318-2643, or they can drop them off at 2004 Acuna Way, and that's A-K-U-U-N-Y-A-A-Y, and then Way, W-A-Y. Lakeside, California, and that's up in Verona. So, but we can pretty much meet anywhere to pick up supplies.
Yeah, that's out in Lakeside. And I understand too that if people want to donate, make a financial donation so that you can buy supplies that may still be needed or contribute to a legal defense fund, can they also get in touch with you about the specifics of how to do that?
Sure. Anybody can get in touch with me about anything concerning Standing Rock. We're on a mission to help these people and to help ourselves as human beings of this planet.
Bobby, I understand that there is an event coming up also in San Diego after you return from Standing Rock, and that'll be yet another way that people can learn more, get involved, and support the effort. Tell us where and when that will be.
Sure. That'll be Sunday, October 30th from approximately 11 to 4, and that will be across from the roller coaster at Mission Bay.
Very good. I want to thank you so much, Bobby, for joining us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the network for social justice.
In Yuma.